Welcome to WebAx, practical web accessibility tips. Welcome to WebAx, podcast 47, alternative text in detail. This is your host, Dennis.
And I'm your co-host, Ross Johnson.
Good to have you again, Ross.
Thanks, glad to be back.
So we'll be talking about alternative text today, but first we have some news and announcements, as always, to go through. WebAx.
The first one is back on one of our favorite sites, 456BereaStreet.com, and Roger has a few tips and guides for creating better markup, and it's a post called Guidelines for Creating Better Markup, and it's kind of a good rundown talking about, you know, you want to start with semantic meaning and then kind of build on it and make sure that everything makes sense from a semantic standpoint and don't use too many classes, that sort of thing. So,
sounds like good advice.
Yeah, it's a good read. Kind of keeps you on your toes.
The next news bit is, it's kind of old news, I don't know, but I posted it on WebAx about the Amazon kind of joining forces with the National Federation of the Blind to fix up their website. So, I mean, Amazon is, in the past has, you know, historically has been slammed for their lack of accessibility. So it looks like they're going to try to make some pretty good effort in there in increasing the accessibility of their website, which is a good thing.
Yeah, hopefully they do quite a lot, because it seems like there's been a few places where they used Amazon as a benchmark to kind of prove, like, why accessibility matters. Like, it's so hard to buy something on Amazon with a screen reader.
Yeah, and I think that that video from WebAIM had an example of that with the blind girl who was, like, trying to find something on Amazon, and it took her, instead of, like, 5 minutes for, like, you know, a normally sighted person, it took her, like, 35 minutes or something to find a book.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. It shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
And the last one is Accessify.com interviews Andy Clark and kind of asks him some accessibility questions, which is interesting because Andy Clark is kind of known for, like, design more than accessibility. He wrote the book Transcending CSS, so there's kind of some good tidbits in there to read over as far as, you know, if you're a designer, it's still important.
Yeah, I missed that one. Thanks for pointing that out. I'll have to check that out. WebAx. Going on to announcements, just a quick mention about a post I made on WebAx that we're kind of looking for a Ajax, accessible Ajax web expert guy to maybe possibly interview on the show. So if you or someone you know knows their stuff for Ajax and accessibility, then send them our way.
Yeah, we'd be happy to talk to them and get them on the podcast.
Yeah, the email is webax, W-E-B-A-X-E, at gmail.com.
Yep. And the next one is, unfortunately for us, but good for Dennis. Dennis got a new job outside of Michigan, so he'll be leaving us.
Yeah, I won't be leaving WebAx. Yeah. We could still record over Skype like we usually do anyway.
Yeah. But as far as Refresh Detroit,
I'll be leaving my role. Ross and I, we've mentioned previously, we're co-founders of the Refresh Detroit organization, so we think we have a replacement for me for, like, the co-leadership role, you know, in the group, but we'll make that announcement in the near future.
Yes,
I got a new day job in Silicon Valley, so I'm excited. In a few weeks, I'll be taking off out there.
Yeah, it sounds exciting, and
sounds
like a really good job, so congrats.
Thanks. Yeah, you'll have to come visit sometime.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll definitely do that.
I was gonna, you could always come for a conference or something.
Yeah. And I'll try and make a winter one so I can leave the frigid cold of Michigan to nice California.
And my family's all here, so I'll be making it back, you know, every once in a while. So.
Good. Glad to hear that. Yeah. We'll have to schedule some Refresh Detroit meetings around that. And the last one is just a quick shout out. I just did my first podcast. I'm doing one kind of on web marketing, so anybody who's kind of interested on kind of creating a website that's got a marketing twist to it, you know, trying to sell a product or service, check that out.
Excellent. And can we put the you have to send me the domain so I could put that on the post for this podcast.
Yep, I'll do that. And for those listening, it's webmarketingpodcast.com.
Excellent. Web ads.
All right. So our talk today is about alternative text in detail. Dennis did a alt text podcast a while back. We thought we'd revisit it and kind of talk a little bit more in detail about some of the things. So if people kind of already have a hang on it, we can talk about it a little more.
Yeah. And well, the first thing I did was I went to the WCAG 2.0 guidelines just to see how, you know, what kind of differences there were with the 1.0 guideline. But there really wasn't that many. Not too many changes or anything. The guideline number is even almost the exact same. Instead of 1.1, it's 1.11.
Yeah. So, I think that shows, you know, it's pretty essential. You know, it's kind of elementary. You got to do alt text properly.
Exactly. So I guess the first method is the most well-known. Most people will call it alt text or alt tag or whatever. But what we're talking about, the most popular method is like for an image, there's the alt, A-L-T attribute. So that attribute, you put text inside that attribute, which should represent or describe, you know, what's in your image.
Yep.
And that is the most basic way of doing it. And I think the recommended size, you know, of characters for that, or at least I think a good guideline for that is, you know, somewhere between 5 and 15 words. Does that sound about right to you, Ross?
Yeah, that's usually what I about do, and it seems like what I read, most people recommend about the same.
Yeah. And you could put in more, but it might, as far as usability, you know, it might reduce the usability aspect when you, a huge, you know, I don't know, if for IE users, you know, like when the yellow tooltip thingamajigger comes up.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be pretty ridiculous if there's a huge amount of text popping up there for in, you know, when it's not really needed.
Yeah. And I think IE even truncates it for a bit, but I mean, if you think about from a screen reader standpoint, if it's just a standard image and not like a paragraph of text in an image, which you shouldn't be doing anyways, you know, it doesn't need to be 30 words long or whatever.
Right. Well, I think, and technically, I think the limit is like 256 characters or something like or 512 or something like that. If anyone out there knows exactly what it is, then leave us a message on the blog, a comment.
Yep. And I think it's important to kind of stress that all images should have an alt attribute. Even if it's a design element, you should have an alt attribute, but just leave it blank, you know, so alt equals and then two quotations.
Correct. Also, don't stuff your alt attributes with words, you know, for like SEO, for search engine optimization, because, you know, search engines are getting smarter now, and they'll detect that, and you could risk being blacklisted.
Yep. And if not blacklisted, you can be penalized too, so
yeah,
no advantage there.
Now, just to throw out some examples of like good alt text, one good rule to go by is whatever text you have in an image, and again, it's not really recommended to put text in an image, you know, it's at least not a lot, but if you have a small amount of text, or like a text and like a photograph in a graphic, then you know, the text in the image should definitely be in your alt attribute. And another rule of thumb is if the content of the image is pertinent to what you're trying to say, then that really should be in there too. But if it's just like decorative, you know, or it just really doesn't add any meaning or necessary content, then it's not really necessary to put in the alternative text.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I think we beat that one to death. There's another way of, like, if, okay, say, for an example, you have a nice graphical chart, and the alt text, obviously, you're not going to be able to stuff all the elements of that graphical chart into, you know, your alt attribute, so there's other ways of doing that. One is the long description attribute, and one is a D-link, which is kind of a more basic, more old-school way of doing that. But the long description attribute, long D-E-S-E, it's not really that well known. I'm not sure how many people are actually using it.
Yeah, I've only come across it in code maybe a handful of times.
Yeah, I mean, now, you know, with image replacement being pretty popular, I'm not sure if that's being used more or just people maybe are just making, like, displaying, you know, external links to the data. What have you seen?
Yeah, I mean, I see so much image replacement these days. It seems like that's so easy and there's so many times it makes sense that, you know, that's kind of what I see.
Yeah.
And it's been older sites that I have seen the long description.
I mean, I think image replacement's good, but for an example like that I threw out there with the graphical chart, I think a long description is a good way to go. Unless for some reason, you know, you want to show an actual link to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, that could go to it. But anyways, what it is it's an it's an attribute on the image, like the alt attribute, except for the long description attribute is a URL. And that URL points to a file that you have on the web server. It's just a basic, you know, HTML file, and it just contains the content of, you know, the textual content from that graphic. So it would either explain in text or have, you know, like a data table or something describing the content of your, you know, pie chart or whatever that that graphic is.
Yeah, so there's plenty of situations where you probably could use image replacement, but there's other times where it just doesn't make sense, you know. I mean, especially if you can kind of explain the same information in a tabular way. I mean, you wouldn't want to do image replacement on the whole table.
Yeah. Now, the D-link works pretty much the same way, except for it's actually displayed on the page. The D-link, the D stands for description. And this is, again, kind of more of an old-school method, but, like, on the bottom right or somewhere, you know, right next to the graphic, you have, like, a little D, the character D that's hyperlinked. And then you just hyperlink that to your file with the, you know, with the textual description of the content. Now, the other thing we mentioned, well, we mentioned image replacement already.
Yeah. There's kind of several ways to do that. Text indents, and I think the best way currently is to use a span to kind of put an image on top of a paragraph of text or a heading.
Now, I use that, you know, frequently for my H1s or, you know, headings, you know, but not too often I use it for other things. I guess,
yeah.
I guess it really depends on what you're doing. Maybe if it's some kind of special widget thing or something.
Yeah, and it's kind of, as far as alternative text in general, it seems like it's kind of, every time it's going to be a little different depending on what you're doing. It's kind of a judgment call.
Yeah.
I mean, I try and keep it where I'll use image replacement if it really seems like it's supposed to be a textual element where I want to mark it up in a paragraph or a heading. Or even a list. But if it's definitely some kind of graphical image, then I'll use an image and alt text.
Sounds like a good plan to me. All right, so we kind of talked about the alt versus long description, and we mentioned the decorative elements to use, you know, image replacement or CSS. And if not, then, you know, definitely make sure for decorative images to have an alt attribute, but just leave it blank.
Yep.
So going back to creating good alternative texts, I mentioned the length. We talked about that a little bit. But also, just another thing is just to be descriptive as possible without, I guess, well, try not to overdo it, but...
Yeah.
Maybe just instead of throwing in the word, like, balloon, you know, maybe it would be nicer to say, you know, young boy, medium shot of a young boy holding a red balloon in a park. Or...
Yeah. And what I try and do and is just kind of think of if the image doesn't load or if you're on a text browser or if you're in a screen reader, what would you need to know about that picture to understand it or to understand the content?
Mm.
And, you know, that's going to be more than just saying a picture with a person.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess, yeah, when you're developing, you could either turn off your images or turn off your CSS and, or whatever and just kind of test it out and see how it flows.
Yeah.
Now, what's your take on alternative text versus title attributes? Like, do you put title attributes on your images at all, or...?
No, I don't, and, you know, I haven't really heard any good arguments as to why you should. Usually where I use title attributes is on links. You know, I want to describe where the link is going to.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually, kind of in conjunction with alt text, can create a problem, because if you've got an image that's a link and use alt text and... Sounds like my microphone went kind of crazy. Can you hear that?
No.
All right, well, keep going.
My computer started to go to sleep. I don't know if that screwed something up.
Okay, well, as long as you can't hear it, I'll keep going to record.
Okay.
So, yes, if you have, you know, alt text on an image and a title attribute on a link, and the image is used for a link, browsers like IE will display both of them. Which is, you know, can be confusing. And also you got to kind of keep in mind a screen reader is going to read off both of them, and is that going to make sense?
Right. So you want to keep the alt attribute on the image, and your title attribute should be on the link.
Yep.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, me too.
So just another important thing about... using alternative text is to test it, you
yep.
know, like we said, turn off your images or whatever you need to do, and just make sure it still makes sense and that you know, everything's rendering correctly.
Yeah, and if you have access to a screen reader or some kind of screen reader plugin, you know, make sure it makes sense. Des, I don't know if you remember the refresh. What was it? I don't know, maybe. Three refresh Detroit ago, somebody from JSTOR, which they do kind of online library service, was talking about they did some testing where, you know, it read off a title attribute and an alt attribute, and it really didn't make sense, and mm-hmm. they ended up taking off the title attribute because it made more sense that way. Even if they were kind of technically doing it correct, it was less accessible.
Mm. Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, it was kind of real short towards the end, but, you know, it's kind of something interesting. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, remember, I mean, IE6, you know, your alt text, the IE6 puts those little yellow tooltip things in, but Firefox and I think most other browsers do not do that, right?
Yeah, no, they don't. It's just IE6, of course, again.
Yeah. Do you know about IE7? Does it do that? I think it does.
Does it?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Huh. Well, I'll have to check. I mean, it's hopefully one of those things where I'd like to think that they figured it out and switched it, but...
Yeah, really. So, yeah, if anyone offhand knows, send us a comment about that. I can't really... I've done kind of a lot of testing in IE7 now, but I don't remember if it does that.
Huh.
But, yeah, it's just another thing to consider, the, display in the different browsers. Okay, so that's alternative text for images. We're not really going to go into multimedia or audio and video presentations or anything. We're going to talk a little bit about audio and Flash, straight audio and Flash, though. So starting with the audio, at the minimum, if you're putting audio on your website, to make that accessible, obviously, you need to have a text alternative. So just having a text, a script, you know, of the audio as an alternative would be a necessity.
Yep, and then, of course, there's captioning.
Yes, that would be the next best thing, or the better thing. To put in some captioning with the audio. I've never really done that in Flash. I imagine it's not very easy. But I've done a lot of work with Smile and Sammy and things for for playing audio with captions in Windows Media Player and other players. And that's not really too difficult. It's just a simple XML style script that you add, and with the text and everything, and so it's kind of neat.
Does it get embedded into the audio file, and then you just open it, and then you have the option, or
no? It's not embedded in the audio file. You it's like a separate XML file of the text, and then you just put in the timings along with it, and that's pretty much it. Let's see, Magpie, that's what I was trying to think of. There's a free program out there. It's Java based application. It's called Magpie. It's free. It's not the greatest, but it works fairly well, and it's free, so if you're interested in checking that out to do that, then go for it. And there's it's a pretty good transcription service out there called Casting Words, and that I think the price has gone up a little bit, but they're still very affordable. So if you're interested, if you need have a need for transcription, check that out.
Yep, and I think they charge on a per minute basis.
Yeah, per minute basis. Yeah, and they're pretty fast. I think they just farm out the work to people or something, and you get it back within a few days.
Yep.
So, all right, let's move on to Flash.
Yep. And so, Flash itself, is it accessible? Well, sort of.
Flash itself, I would say yes. Inherently, Flash is accessible. There's probably like a million links we could reference for that, but
yep.
But Flash itself, I believe, is accessible. You know, it's just a matter of, if you're using Flash for like some crazy, complicated game or something, some totally interactive thing. You know, that's going to be obviously a lot more difficult. But I mean, if you just want to make like a basic, animation with a little bit of content thrown in there, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to do.
Yep. And, I mean, even Flash, it's got tabbing navigation, and there are ways to make it so that, the text can be read, so.
Yeah, and the latest version of Flash and Flash Player, the accessibility level has really gone up, so.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to try to make your Flash content accessible, because it's not out of the question.
Yeah, I mean, there kind of was one point where there's really little you could do, and now that's not the case. So kudos to Macromedia and Adobe.
Yeah, but there are there are alternatives though for making your Flash content accessible. I mean, besides putting it in Flash, one alternative is to embed your Flash element with using JavaScript, and then if the person doesn't have JavaScript enabled, then an alternative image or alternative text would display.
Yeah. And that way you can at least get the general idea without Flash.
Do you want to talk about this title attribute in Flash, or I don't know, really.
I think we just say, you know, the title attribute's another way, and it's, you know, kind of almost like you could use it as an alt text, you know, describe what the Flash multimedia is. So, you know, if it's just a logo with some kind of cool animation to it, you could just say, you know, Nike logo.
Oh, and the title of the what tag do you put the title in?
I believe that's in the embed.
Or whatever object you're using to, whatever tag you're using to embed the Flash.
Yeah.
Okay. And for Flash video, did you put this in there? Have a narrative?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an easy thing to do in Flash, is you can have a narrative.
Okay, how does that work?
All right, basically, you can kind of record it with, you know, any kind of, you know, microphone and recording software. You know, Audacity's free, and just put it into a track. And, you know, I'm not a Flash developer, so...
Oh, just kind of describe, like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, if you've got an all-Flash site, it's kind of one way to, you know, have your own very descriptive narrative. You know, the possibilities are pretty wide as far as what you can do with Flash if you have the time to make sure that it's accessible.
Okay, sounds good. Well, there's some good choices for you for developers out there for Flash and making it accessible. You know, we just touched upon the subject, really. There's lots more out there, so feel free to investigate.
Yep.
Well, that'll do it for podcast... Web Axe Podcast 47, Alternative Text in Detail. And I'm Dennis signing off.
Ross, too. Catch you next time.
All right. Thanks for listening. The Web Axe blog and podcast is located at webaxe.blogspot.com. webaxe.blogspot.com. Email webaxe@gmail.com. webaxe@gmail.com. To leave a voice message, call 206-203-0585. WebAxe is sponsored by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. www.checkengineusa.com.